Good afternoon.
Hey, it's Kelly, and Chris is just calling in with a brand new client that we've been waiting to hear from has agreed to the plan and blah, blah, blah. And they literally just called back, and he was calling you, and I wanted to call and make sure you weren't just ditching you.
Oh, thanks. I appreciate it.
Is it just us on the line today, or is Birmingham on the line today?
No, just you guys.
Okay, so do you want to hang out for a minute or two? Because I know he was just trying to call in because he's not going to be here for May, and we were telling him how important we thought it was to be speaking with you today. But I know if you're busy, and it's not fair to make you hold for a few minutes. This is a really good supernova story that has gone through the whole process and is agreeing, and they're bringing in a couple million an asset right away, and we were waiting for them to return from a vacation on Thursday or Friday, and then we were going to, help them sign the ACAT forms. And that's him calling in for the transition, so.
Well, good. Well, I'll just hang on a while, and I can do some paperwork here, so that's fine.
Okay. All right. I'll put you on hold. Do you mind the music if you're listening to hold music?
No, that's fine.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Hello?
Hey.
Hey. Who's this?
This is Chris, Kelly.
Hey, Chris, tell, pretty hard to take us off.
You got whole music playing, coming over the line, you can't hear.
Hang on a second.
Okay.
There you go.
Oh, Chris? He didn't know I had you holding. I was writing a note, Chris, because I'm telling you, he's holding.
I'm good now.
Right.
Sorry about that. I'm sorry I was going late.
No, I heard you have very good news, though.
Yeah, it's my first true supernova new client.
Oh, that's great. That's
from
great.
Merrill Lynch. That makes it even better.
So tell me about it.
How are you doing? First, I haven't talked to you. I don't think I made the last call, so how have you been?
I've been well, thank you. I'm doing great. Spent a week with my granddaughter here, and she's four, so it doesn't get better than that. So
that'll wear you out too.
No, it's wonderful.
Good. So, Lori and I kind of had this process planned that by the time that we evacuated the book until we got down to what we call the closet list. And the closet list were the ones that were going to be exited as accounts came in, and then we said, okay, we haven't brought in all the additional assets of existing clients, but we're aware of all and we're working on them. I said, really, 2018 is going to be a success or failure based on new assets, because we've done all the 7, 8, 9 months worth of extensive touches. We've found a lot of new assets, and we've gotten accounts structured properly, and clients are enjoying it and liking it. So new assets eventually have to come in, and it's fascinating that there's clients out there that you really have a good rapport with, and you feel as if they'll give you a lot of names. And then there's clients, and we have one client in particular that has probably referred more clients to us than anybody else, and he's that guy. But then you have other clients, every time they get on the phone, they're just a little more brusque and seem to be a little bit more frustrated. And then they refer, 5 or 6 people to you. And this is the latter. So this guy became a client of ours prior to Supernova. But as Supernova was starting, he sold out of a company, had another couple $1 million come in, and he fell immediately into the process of Supernova. And he was one of the people that we originally talked about. Here's your client file, and there's this page and this page. No, by the way, this page is introductions given or received. If I ever give you the name of a CPA, you're ever kind enough to give me the name of one of your friends, this is where you keep a record of it. He's got five, well, of the five, one's his son, but he's got five names on there. And he, and once the names go on the file, he actually feels the responsibility. Oh, I'm going to see that guy again next week. I'm going to mention your name to him again. I don't know why I hadn't done anything. And one of his friends called us. It was really kind of going through that. I said, oh, you know, you're doing, I just thank you again. I'm looking at your introductions given page. You've really been very happy. I said, oh, as a matter of fact, I'm going to see one of those couples these next week, long story short. They told us to go ahead and call them after the meeting they had. We went through the normal discovery process, which we have, which has already been successful. Our discovery process is good. It's just not, you know, filling the pipeline has been a little low. So we've got a $3.1 million Merrill account that's moving in, hopefully by the end of this month, as a referral from one of our Supernova clients.
Awesome.
And we have another.
What do you think was the catalyst that moved them from? I mean, what were they not doing that you were doing? What was it? What was the difference?
I don't think they were getting any service. I don't think. And you know, you start in Supernova, you realize there are very few people out there providing this level of service. But I think the catalyst was our client continually singing our praises, and then his Merrill Lynch broker went to UBS. So, yeah, so that was the, I mean, I'd love to say it was just our great name, but those things went in tandem together. And so when that happened, and, you know, he's like, well, you know, I tell people when your broker moves, you've got to make a change one way or another. You either have to change brokers at the current firm, change firms with the current broker. So make that a time to step back and review all your options. And we go through kind of a detailed discovery process, and at the end of that hour that we first spent on the phone together, the wife said, wow, I really enjoyed this a whole lot more than I thought I would. and we kind of clicked. They're the kind of people that are good fits for us, and it's just worked out great. So it's been very exciting. Now with that, we've had another million come in, or that is coming in, from two different households. And they're family members, but they're one call family members. So in one instance, we had the mother, who's starting to have some health issues, and the kids have moved into town. And so they're taking over Power of Attorney for the mother's account, and they're putting one of their $3 million in. So we're getting $1 million from them. So it fits our model. His goal is within 5 years to put all $3 million with us. And I think it's going to happen faster than that. And then we have one of my biggest referring clients, his sister and her husband are putting $1 million. So we, you know, they are becoming, you know, $1 million butler for us. But, you know, the primary household is probably $2.5 million. And then another sibling is about $1.5 million. So this person take $1 million on from them fits the household. You know, there's some gray areas in households when you do that, but we'll have another $2 million come from these two people, and then 3.2. So we should have a, you know, net new assets around $5 million this quarter.
Wow.
I'm happy.
No, that's wonderful. The firm's gonna be very happy.
Yeah, so that was good. And I told the story in our meeting. This all started from a small account that I had years ago, and the father passed away, and the father was one who called up and say, hey, I need some money, I'm going to Lowe's. You know, I mean, he would only pull out $500 here and there for a hot water trip or something. He's never spent any money. He had pension, military pension, and all that kind of stuff. So it was like a $150,000 account that we just had forever, and it was very easy to manage. But when he passed away, we realized there were three kids, and we got on the phone and really helped them work the estate out, had them use us as kind of the quarterback of consolidating assets. We took her up to $300,000, which was not a big deal, but then we got one of the kids at $600,000 and one of the kids at $3,000. So all of a sudden we've got a $1.2 million household, and we have a $350,000 household. This is one of the kids who became $2.5 million, who then referred a $3.2 million to us.
Wow. So all of that came from that $150,000 former military pensioner.
Yep.
Amazing.
Now we will say that that used to be the reason years ago when I was a rookie that the old guy said never give away an account. But
yep.
The difference is he was a pleasure to work with. So we have we've shaken the trees on every other small account we have, and we're pretty comfortable of who has some potential in the future and who does not. Oh, and by the way, when we did one of the $1 million accounts that's coming in, that's going to increase that household size, when we did the discovery and we were pulling all the information and we always get the family, and one of the daughters is graduating as an architect, the other is doing her residency in surgery right now. So, that's, if you truly believe in longevity of your portfolio, you love to hear kids that are going into dentistry and law and surgery.
Yeah, they've done very well. Dad would be proud,
Yeah.
Good job. Is he still alive?
Which one?
The dad that had the 150K?
No, his passing was the catalyst for all this to happen.
Oh, that's right. That's right. I'm sorry. That's right. Okay.
Well, and we'll tell people not only, when somebody passes away, let us... So, and I give you, for instance, we had somebody pass away about 3 months ago, and the son was in town from Colorado Springs, and they lay out all this stuff. And they go, well, they got an annuity here. They had a joint account over there. They had a Fidelity account. We've got to do all this stuff for all the different people. I say, nope. You got a notary right here. Let us be the kind of the grand union, grand central station for all this. Let's fill out all the paperwork here. Let us keep copies and forward it for you. And if we get servicing agreements in place so we can call on your behalf, let us be the ones that kind of pull all this stuff together. That's a lot of work, but we have found that is our single biggest opportunity for new assets is when we have an older client either step into an assisted living or pass away. We've got one situation where two clients have gone to assisted living, and we now do a conference call once a month. They're supernovas because they're in assisted living. But the conference call is between a local son who's not a big client at all, but then his sister, who's an attorney and an HR director at a company in South Carolina, and she just changed companies 6 months ago. So in the last call, we said, by the way, we'd love to talk to you about your assets. She goes, well, we've talked about that a few times. We're thinking about it. So, any kind of change of life situation or money in motion situation is something we try to critically run after.
Yep. Sure. We had one of our FAs pass away, and his partner, Kim Fogg, took the wife literally by the hand, and the children were in Texas, and one was not capable of helping. And she literally spent a week with her and took care of everything for her. I mean, yes, he was a partner, and yes, it was our firm, but that was her. That was her personality. And she did it, and I'll never forget it. I mean, it made such an impression on me. I mean, it was a week out of his life, but it just said to, I'm sure it said to every client that ever knew about it, boy, this is who I want to be around when I pass,
Yeah, because what she said is, this is who I am. This wasn't a routine for her. This was who she was. And that speaks louder than all the methods we may come into contact with.
That's exactly right.
And I've never figured that out. They sit in meetings and they say, you need to meet the wife, you need to meet the kids, because something like 70% of all the assets leave when the husband passes away. And we're sitting there thinking, gosh, that's our single biggest asset gathering opportunity. What is, are people not doing anything when somebody dies?
Well, not only are they not doing anything, they have no relationship.
Yeah.
See, here's the problem. The firm is still thinking like they are a stockbroker. Okay, I'm sorry, but it's true. They still think like stockbrokers. That this is, they are there because of the relationship of the husband with you And he picks stocks, and you pick stocks, and that's why they're there. And when he dies, they leave because the wife doesn't know you, and she does business with somebody else. That's a stockbroker.
Yeah.
Okay? They don't think that you've done a financial plan, you know the wife, you know the kids, you have relationships with them, assuming that the children are grown and they have the assets or that the family has the necessary assets. You have relationships with them, accounts.
Mm-hmm.
And so when somebody passes, it's just a part of life. It's not a crisis. You know, it's a part of their life that you were expecting, and you deal well with it, you know, and help them through it. Instead, it's for the firm, and I'm not saying your firm, any firm. They don't think of you as a life coach. They think of you as, you know, still think of you as financial equity manager. And it's too bad.
Yeah.
But that's what the numbers tell them. The numbers tell them that's what you are. You know, which is sad.
Well, I've got an opportunity. I'm going to a PMI conference in Denver this next week, which is portfolio managers within Morgan Stanley speaking to portfolio managers within Morgan Stanley. So it's I hear it's a great first time I've been, but you know, I've got one client in Colorado that's a big client I'm going to have dinner with, but then I have another client is one of my oldest, largest, and they're three generation, and the third generation is a young, probably 26-year-old attorney in Denver that's the only grandchild of these original clients of mine. So she and I are grabbing a cup of coffee right by her office while I'm there. And I mean, she's got like a $42,000 stock account with me, but the issue is not to increase her portfolio size. It's to meet her and to get to know her and to be a help to her, because we've had, you know, maybe two conversations a year with clients like that, but just trying to help them pick their 401k funds, manage their debt, make some good decisions, make some good first steps in getting into their 401k. The parents and the grandparents just, I mean, again, we do it because we love helping people, but that pays enormous dividends with the entire
family. Well, here's what I suggest, okay? And time is, you know, time is precious, so
yeah.
You don't have time to do everything. But if you truly are, the way I tell people, and you might, you know, say, Rob, you're wrong, you shouldn't, you know, it should be more than this. But the way I tell them is, look, if there's two children and your minimum is $1 million and the client has $3 million, clearly those children will each inherit more than $1 million, therefore they meet your minimum. Therefore, you should make them a butler, which is a 4-1, which is meaning you have four contacts a year,
right,
one of them in person. And you do a mini financial plan, you know, some kind of planning process for them so they know how much they need to save and so forth for retirement and for the kids and whatever. And that, to me, makes sense. Now, it doesn't make sense when you've got 11 children and $800,000. Well, you've got 11 children and $800,000 account. It's not going anywhere.
Yeah.
So, you know, so I think there's some common sense here that, you know, if you've got one grandchild, great-grandchild of a extended family, she's going to inherit it all. That would make sense, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I think we have to be sober about these things, especially when you're giving. I mean, let's face it, Supernova service takes time.
Yes, it does.
And you can't give it to everybody, and that's part of what we discussed the last time. You know, we have too many clients, and you need to get down to 65 clients, and you know, that's so the game becomes, I love you, and I love you all, but I can only do this for 65 clients.
And really, that conversation gets easier because it starts with a commitment to service. And so, you know, we tell the people that we're passing on, we said we believe everybody deserves an appropriate level of service, but service is time, and time is a very finite classes so we can do the math. We know exactly how much time we need to spend with each client. We know exactly how many hours in a day. And we know, and I would say this, we also know the time we need to spend with clients that aren't on the phone, because your portfolio requires work that's not, you know, you're not talking on the phone, it's doing some work behind the scenes. And so I said, once we do the math, we come up with how many clients we can service. And the benefit is, you're actually going to get better service, because the reality is, we've not had the time to service you before. And that's our fault. And we're going to rectify that.
Because fundamentally, we didn't do the math. You know?
Yep.
I mean, that's the truth. You know, people just haven't done the math. And they would never win. You know?
Here's an observation after making a bunch of these calls, is I've noticed that entrepreneurs and successful people totally get it, and civil servants do not. I'm serious. I had the conversation with people that have been in some form of government or school job, and that you know, if I'm building houses for a living, if I'm a commercial real estate guy, they get it. They totally understand what you're saying. But if I've worked, you know, in the DOT for the last 20 years, I just think that's unfair. You know, I don't understand what you're talking about. And no joke, I have come up with that more times than not.
It's really interesting. I mean, that tells you who you want as your ideal client, right?
Yep. So the exciting thing is, you know, the user number is 65. I'm 68 right now. And I know that when this client comes in, my bottom three clients, number 66, 67, and 68, are going to Lori. And Lori is going to be able to hand out about, you know, she's not going to hand off any, but we're going to push about 10 out of the closet. So every time a $3 million client comes in, it's just, it tightens the numbers up a little bit more. It tightens the service up a little bit more. So that's exciting.
Yeah, if you do that. If you do that, that's the key. You know, you got to keep kicking them out of the closet. Now, when you kick them out of the closet, do they go, where do they go?
They go to another advisor, and they go 100%. There's not one share. We don't take a 1% cut. We don't do anything. They fully go. And these are people that don't know anything about the service grid. So when I hand them to a person that I trust, I say, okay, here's a schedule. You got to call them within the first week, try to schedule a meeting, and I need you to have at least two or three contacts with them in the first, you know, 60 days. I want them to think of you as their advisor, and then about 3 months after that, I need you to make at least one more contact to them. Because I said, you've got to kind of steer it. And these are the clients that have, again, they've not been introduced. There's no stairway to the stars or whatever. It's closet people. And without exception, I think he had one person move, but he even found some revenue, and not necessarily assets, but he found revenue out of the clients. And if I'm about to, you know, UIT's rolling over, our bond's maturing, we won't drop the ticket. If we know we're going to give them away, we'll give them away first and say, okay, you've got a reason to call. The UIT's rolling, or the bond's maturing, or the stock has just been downgraded. So call on that, and they're expecting the call. And it works out well.
That's a very fair way to do it. And plus, it, as you know, it cleans the closet, which is worth big money to you.
Yes.
So those people find you, they call you April 15th or sometime, and then they can eat your lunch for a day.
Yep. Or, I mean, this again is terrible. If you have someone who passes away, one other thing I'll share that was fun about
good
this.
Good point.
I have had two or three people, and this looks funny, because when we started with this, Rob, Lori and I said, we're drinking the Kool-Aid. We're jumping in with both feet, and I think I've shared this before. I don't want to look back after 3 years and somebody said, well, how's Supernova work? And it didn't really work that well. And they said, well, how much did you do? I said, about 25%. We were going to go all in, and that way we knew if it worked or didn't. We would know if it worked or didn't work. So one of the things that frightened us is when we had to give away a couple of $300,000 referrals that came in, and the other ones to state our minimum. and so the guy, you know, a lot of the people have, again, I've heard people say this, but until you experience it, you don't believe it. You know, what's your minimum? Well, my minimum's 2.5. Oh, good. We've got 3. We make your minimum. I mean, that is wonderful. That's a wonderful statement. You know, instead of, I've got the background, okay, I know our absolute minimum is 750. So if they've only got a million, you can have that conversation with them. But there's even 2 clients that came in with, they said, I said 2.5 for our minimum. They go, that's not an issue. And yet they've only brought a million in. And we've had 4 or 5 meetings, and we say, and one's a business owner who's trying to finish out the sale of his business. But I'll remind them. I'll say, okay, don't forget, we had a commitment. We were going to get to 2.5 million. We're at 1 million. Things are going the way we wanted. You're enjoying this. You know, so it's not been an issue. It's actually been a very, very positive part of it.
Yeah, they kind of congratulate themselves for making it, don't they?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, and they feel like they're in an exclusive club rather than, oh, this guy takes anybody.
Yeah. Kind of like, I liken it to the private equity conversation. You've got to have 2.5 million and 250,000 to get into this, and there's just some people who love the fact that they're in a very exclusive investment. So.
Yeah. No, that's right. I mean, that's the human. I mean, look, everybody wants to join the club they can't get in, you know?
Yep.
It's just the human mentality of scarcity. They want what they can't, you know, other people can't have. And as wealthy people, it's very interesting. Wealthy people want access. I'm not talking about the ultra wealthy, you know, the people that they can buy anything. But they don't always have access to things. And if they do, they have to pay for it, you know. Tickets to the Super Bowl and things like that, they pay exorbitant amounts. So if you can provide them access, they are very grateful.
Yeah.
So, you know, access to a particularly unique tour. I'm just thinking off the top of my head, I'm just, you know, I don't know why I got on this, but. You know, if you could give them a tour of the Naval Air Station or the museum with, you know, the authority on it, you know, retired master, you know, retired master chief or, you know, some, you know, former commander or something, you could really tell them the history of what's going on.
Well, so the VIP tour. The VIP tour in New York is actually, I've got clients that travel to New York periodically. I've done that at the, you know, Morgan Stanley really wants, you know, someone with a, you know, not the $2.5 million client, but the $5 to $25 million client, but I've even gotten some inroads to try to schedule one of those, and they say that when you take a client through a tour of Morgan Stanley or Merrill Lynch or, you know, anything like that, the headquarters, that it is a very, very positive experience. I'm trying to actually set that up for one of my largest clients right now.
Yeah, as a district director, I would put on a prospecting dog and pony show every year where I brought in, you know, I'd make it available to people, and we had a bigger minimum, but, you know, we'd bring them in to New York, and this is a $50 million, I think, minimum. But you brought them into New York, and you took them to a show, and you gave them the grand tour of, you know, had them speak to a chief economist, and it was a wonderful thing. And I think you can do that for less, because they're not working all the time. But
yeah,
it's a lot of fun. I also took them to Blackberry Farm one time, clients, which was great fun. So there's a lot of creative things you can do. As long as you have the people, the prospects with the money.
So a couple of things to ask you about. Well, I guess it's just me and you on the phone. Rory had to take her kids to the dentist.
And
I was in Paul and that group's gone.
Right.
So let me see. I've got 2 things I was going to mention to you. One is I don't know if you remember, but in the first 2 months of doing this, one of the aha moments was the COI group.
Yeah.
And I said on one of our calls, there's a lot of 5 year and under financial advisors who want to meet with COIs, and now, you know, none of them want to meet with them. You don't have got very few 20-year plus veterans who want to meet with COIs, and I said it just became this really powerful opportunity to meet. And I probably had, one or two or three with every CO on my list, and then the busyness of Supernova kind of took over. So now I find myself again with the margin to reinvigorate the ones that I feel like are good candidates, the ones that aren't. And the ones that aren't are the ones that just, you know, we talk and no spark came in their eye. You know, they just thought of doing business better for our clients, didn't seem to connect with them. But I'm excited about that. I've got a really solid list of six, five of which I've met with. The six I actually met at lunch today, and I want to start, you know, meeting with them on a regular basis again. So I want to talk about that. The other thing I was going to mention is this afternoon I've got a call with a big fish that I have wanted to meet for a long time. His CFO is a friend of mine, and he texted me last week and he said, hey, he's got $1 million to CD he wants to place for a brief period of time. Can you help him with that? And we had a conversation about a year or two ago about something, and for whatever reason it didn't pan out. But I said, yes. I said, I need to talk to him before I'll do it, because I want to go down and say, hey, I appreciate the opportunity to do this. I just want to give you an idea of what we do and be very clear to him that, you know, we're not here to, you know, we have all the ability to broker $1 million with a CD, but that's not what we do. And the only reason I want to help you with this is my goal is to see if I can sit down together and see if there's other opportunities for us to meet. If that's not the case, then we probably need to, you know, say thanks and shake hands and part as friends.
Right.
So that's the one I'm, you know, again, it takes a lot of bravery to walk through Supernova to say that to this guy. You know, I want to be clear, but I don't want to be...
be clear. Look, this guy, what's the company? He's the CEO?
He is a government contract company, and I have a couple of friends that work for him, and, you know, the rumor is they mill cash. So he's a multimillionaire and a very young one at that, and probably got maybe 20, 25 people working for him, but they do airline parts. They broker airline parts, and they also have two other divisions, but it's all government contract work.
Okay. Well, I mean, look, tell your story, but make sure you focus on the brand that you create and the reason, you know, that your clients love what you do, but it takes a commitment to excellence to do what you do. Okay, you can't be sort of in the game. I mean, we're not part-time at this. You know, we're full-time.
Yeah.
This is what we do. We work with 65 families. We give them an extraordinary experience, and our reputation depends on each one of those people being ecstatic. Okay? So that's what we're interested in. If that makes sense to you, and you need somebody, and you'd like to hire me, I'm here for the interview.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'll go through that. You don't sound like you're feeling well.
Oh, I've got allergies that are go crazy this time of year, and I'm not at my peak performance, but I'm hanging in there. I can still get excited about this.
Well, when I get on the plane tomorrow, one of the things I want to work on, and I believe your book has something to say about it, but now that we've brought in this new client, I all of a sudden stop and go, oh my gosh, where's my 90-day process? And we don't have one. We had one in writing, and when I went through these steps years ago, we created the discovery meeting, we created a follow-up, and we created what we call tax and takeoff, you know, the client's the acceptance of that. But when you do it for 300,000 clients, you don't have time to do a 90-day process. It ended with a 90-day meeting where they brought in all their statements and brought in all their proxies and all their fund information, and we show them how what needs to be filed, what needs to be shred, what can just be thrown away because it's just general information. But in between taxi and takeoff and the 90-day meeting, we had, or I had ideas of all these other things, but never had to use them because we just never had the time. So I want to start building that on this plane trip to Colorado and back.
Great. Congratulations, yeah. That'll be great.
So I want somebody, they say, you said, or somebody said one time, the best chance you have for future referrals is right after you get a new client through the 90-day meeting, because if you service them and touch them continuously during that 90-day process, and then that 90 day, they go on the service trip. They get a monthly call. Because at that point, everything's invested, all the accounts are open, all the beneficiaries are correct, they're on the line, they got the line of credit, they, you know, they got the American Express. Now we just put them in the grid, but they're so, the thought is they're so happy at the end of that 90 days, like they're like, why didn't I do this 10 years ago?
Well, that's exactly right. And they always tell people, when are you the most excited about buying your new car?
Right after you bought it.
Yeah, it's not a year later. You know, if you're used to it by then, you're already spoiled. I mean, if you buy the right car, you're still happy. You still refer somebody. But it's, you know, when you first buy it, you get that adrenaline kick. And so, you know, you're right. The 90 days is a perfect time. And the difference between other people using that 90-day process and you is that 90-day process continues.
Yep.
I mean, it happens monthly versus 90 days and then never hear from you.
Yep, which has happened.
And that's why they say, you know, you got to do it in that 90 days because they didn't have a process after that. You know, they had a good 90-day process, but nothing after that.
Yeah.
And to me, that's crazy.
Well, like I said, for the first time now, I've got margin in my week because to create the process is all-consuming. And then now that you've gotten a little bit of, oh, that's the other thing we're working on. I've got margin in the week where I can do COIs, I can work on the 90 days, and I can do this third thing. The third thing is, on the 24-month calendar, there are things like beneficiary reviews, annuity reviews, distribution analysis, Roth conversion conversations, liability review, and you know, each one of those, Lori, and this has been great for her because she's still first couple of years, but if I'm going to have a beneficiary review with you and your wife, the conversation that I'm going to have with you is going to be 90% the same as the next beneficiary review I have with somebody else. And so we're trying to make the script and the follow-up information so repeatable that, you know, it doesn't, you know, you get stressed out when you first start doing these 24-month calendars. And we learned at one point, don't make a beneficiary review for one person, you know, have them all scattered during the year, you know, as many Roth conversion conversations you can have in 1 month, the faster you go. I learned that the hard way. But then when you have it, you know, we have parameters. You know, somebody has more than 65% of their assets in qualified assets, and we start talking about that. If they don't, then we at least tell them why we don't think it's a conversation they need to have. I said, this month, the Roth conversion review, only 25% of your assets are in qualified accounts. If you had more than 65%, we would have this conversation, but I just want to let you know that we do look at this, and we do look at the pros and cons and the value for you, and we do not think it's something we need to talk about. And you may ask, well, why do we put it on the calendar? Well, I don't want somebody 6 months from now saying, oh, have you talked to your advisor about a Roth conversion? Because it's the greatest thing that ever happened to me. So sometimes we'll have calls to people that they don't need to have, but we just want to let them know we're looking at it.
Well, that's like long-term care, you know?
Yes.
Or, I mean, liability management. I mean, yes, I understand and I remember you paid off your mortgage. You don't want the mortgage. But you know what? You have three children that are 40 years old, you know? And so, why not, you know, you need to, they may want to buy a house. So we, you know, that's why I bring it up.
Yeah, yeah. And you never know when something changes, because the two people who said they never wanted any debt, you call you one day and say, hey, we're in D.C., we see this condo we really want because it's here and it's close to this, and do we have that line of credit you talked about?
Bingo.
Yeah.
Access to money. It really isn't debt, it's access to money.
Yeah.
And that's the way to look at it, you know?
It's
a not access to money on an, on an efficient basis. And it's a lot more efficient than selling stocks and paying capital gains.
Yep.
So, smart.
Well, right. So it's all been good. We're having fun. I love process. It's definitely a baptism in process, and we're learning something new every day.
You were very enthusiastic about the enthusiastically endorsed list. Any more success with that, or any more stories?
The story is the one or two people that I brought it up with who actually wanted to fill it reminded me that I need to have that conversation again with some other folks. It got to be I think one thing that maybe distracted me was when somebody was giving me the name of a painter and sheetrocker, and I was trying to take the information in. And CPAs and attorneys and insurance agents and other advisors, don't want their other advisors on the enthusiastically endorsed list. But, you know, that I've kind of got that for everybody, to go to the ENT or to go to the cardiologist or go to the yard guy. I kind of lost momentum on that, so I need to kind of make that an every other month question.
Yeah, it's just one of those things that, you can go through and ask about, professional services, that you use. For example, cardiologist, do you use ENT? Who do you use for your dentist? Can you enthusiastically endorse them? I mean, it's one of those things that you can have on the list every week, every month, and just knock them off.
You got to put it on because they got to remember, you got to remind them 2 years later that you still have their painter's name on there. I think that impresses them.
Yep.
So here's a question for you. Do you ever get aggravated when you go to a cardiologist or an ENT or any place, and their service is so poor that you feel like you just need to coach them?
Oh, God, yes, I quit. I gave them my book. I met with their manager, and nothing changed, so I fired them. I swear to God, it was my concierge physician.
Oh, my God.
He gave a great physical. He was wonderful. The service was great. But I'm down in Florida, right, for 7 months anyway. And so I'm paying the full amount in Indiana. So, that's okay, but... you raise the price when you go through 70, and that's okay. But at least, check in every once in a while. You don't have to do 12-14, but at least every 3 months call and make sure I'm still alive,
Yeah.
And no way. Nothing. Dead. The part that made me fire him? That we'd have an agenda? He has a great physical, so he's got an agenda, follows through on it, not ahead of time, but he does it when he's there.
Yeah.
Then he has his list of to-dos. He never did them. 2 years in a row. And they weren't big things. They were little things, and he didn't do them. And so I said, that's enough.
Yeah.
I told him what to do. I told him about the executive summary. My other doctor, fabulous. My oncologist in Ohio State, oh my God. Talk about efficient. Talk about effective. This guy's unbelievable. So, I can't tolerate that. As a professional, I cannot, in the service business, I cannot accept it, so I fired him. And I told him why.
Yeah,
I told his manager, you know, the guy that runs the place that I met with, to told him to fix it. He never fixed it. He called me to wonder why I wasn't paying my bills. And I told him, he said, oh, the doctor will call you. He never called. I knew him.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I have an ENT. I asked one of my COIs that I meet with. I said, you know, good ENT, because mine retired a couple years ago. And it said, yep. And it has been a process with this guy. It's just taken months and months to go through the stuff. And he told me last time, he said, oh, if I'd have known you were a friend of Steve's, call me or let him know, and I would have, you know, I've done this or that. So the last time I called, when nothing was happening the way they said it would, I said, well, do me a favor. I said, last time he said, just mentioned that I was Steve's friend and he would, you know, work it out. Nothing. And I think a lot of times these guys are making so much money and so busy that they honestly don't care. They don't see a reason to. A concierge physician is different than an ENT that works in a big hospital. But, you know, that's what COIs. I've met some very capable attorneys and just really feel good about sending a client from a quality standpoint. But I told him one time, I said, the only thing my clients say is, A, you talk about fees too quick, and you got to remember that they're there because somebody died a lot of times. And I said, you might want to smooth that out. And B, they say it takes too long to get a call back. And I don't mean like 2 days. I mean 2 weeks. So I just said, you know, hey, if you could fix these two things. And, you know, again, he's very capable. But the thought of, you know, why should I do that? I still have more people coming to my door than I can handle. I said, yeah, but you got people paying $600 will fees. You know, do you want to do trust work or do you want to do wills for the rest of your life?
Right. I mean, it's like it's insane. Now, here's an idea for you, okay? Now, I do business with, you know, all the whole spectrum of financial advisors, but I do business with quite a few with what we call ultra-high net worth, right? So we had a client that was coming in from South America. It was his daughter. It was a billionaire, and his daughter was going to have $20 million to invest with $200 million behind it. And so the attorney notified my financial advisor in Miami and said, you know, you've got the account, we got the relationship, and we're going to have this meeting, and, you know, thank you for, you know, it was a thank you, because she had really done a good job of meeting with him monthly, and he was the center of influence, but she had done Supernova for him. And I said, so what value are you going to bring to her? And she said, well, I'm going to do a good job. I said, no. She's not going to know anyone, okay? You should create an ultra-high net worth group of enthusiastically endorsed professionals designed to service a person that is a billionaire. And I said, so you want everything concierge. Concierge means basically to me just what you said. When you call, they call you back. Okay? That's the most important thing. You know, 1 hour response, 24 hour resolution. That's the most, you know, people forget that. They don't want to add it on. It's the most important thing, I think, of the whole Supernova thing. It basically says you're important. So we started a brainstorm. And who would be enthusiastic? Who would be these people? Well, you got a concierge, physician, gynecologist, dentist, travel agent, concierge, realtor that's going to take care of her, maybe a designer for her apartment, you know, maybe contractor, and a concierge shopper, you know, to help her shop. And speaking English and, you know, so forth. And I said, so we went through it. She was like jumping up and down in her seat going, this is fabulous. You know, this is going to work. I said, but here's the key. You bring these people together and you meet with them all. And you say, this is a good idea, all right? We're going to have a little cocktail party and I want everybody to meet everybody. And we're going to meet now. This is going to be our group, right? And the key is that everybody is trusted. The word is trust. If anybody screws anybody and anybody hears about it, you're out. Okay? And the other thing is, don't let any jerks in. Meaning, no clients that are jerks. They may have a billion, but if they're a jerk, we don't do business with them.
Yeah.
Okay? So think about doing that at your level. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So if the $3 million, $5 million, $10 million level, what would that look like? Who would those people be? And who's willing to participate? And I think the most important part of the whole thing, discovery process for me, was no jerks allowed. See, you hear what I mean?
Yeah.
Because you cannot have any clients in there that are not going to be nice people, because they're going to screw up. You're going to screw up your whole thing.
So I am going to jump off in about 4 minutes as I get ready for the call, but I will tell you one thing that you and I, not only we differ on this, it just makes us a little bit unique and actually works really well for us.
Yep.
So of the $3.2 million client, he's based in New Hampshire. He and his wife are in New Hampshire. The $1 million client that's adding to an existing household is in Wichita, Kansas. And the third $1 million is here locally. And what we found in my 65, 40% of them are outside the state of Florida, or at least outside, you know, they might be in Tampa, but they're not anywhere near Pensacola. And and it's interesting because that to me even adds a little bit of prestige to the discussion we have. We work with 65 families, only about 60% of them are even within a an hour and a half radius of Pensacola. The other 40% are in cities like Seattle, Princeton, Austin, Texas, Denver, Colorado, Los Angeles, San Francisco. And the good end is it really works well within a supernova system because you do times and you're not necessarily meeting face-to-face as much, but if you're in the city, you try to make time to do it. The thing that makes it tougher is the COI side. So with five clients in Austin, I would actually identify one estate attorney there, and he and I have had a couple of conference calls, and that's gone really well. But, you know, what will happen is if a client in San Francisco asks for a referral, I'll call the branch manager in San Francisco. He and I will have a conversation, and then I'll refer a couple of names to him, and then I'll call the firm. And I said, hey, just want to let you know that if the Smiths give you a call, that it was a referral from a Morgan Stanley advisor in Pensacola through the local advisor in San Francisco. So I want to make sure they know that this isn't somebody they can refer on. And then, I'll follow up and say, hey, if they end up doing the trust or whatever, you can copy some of the documents because some of them do. But that's tougher for us to create events because of that. But we will actually like that. To me, that's a really, really sweet spot for us. I feel like the client in New Hampshire and Austin, Texas and San Francisco are going to be with us for the rest of my career as much as I do the person I bump into who has to have somebody to see face-to-face there in Pensacola.
I'm the biggest, I always tell people, they say, well, I'm in Pensacola. I can't have that high a minimum. I said that last time I checked, Pensacola is an airport, right?
Yes.
And that's the mentality you got to have, that the United States or even the world is your, they don't like you to do cross-border stuff, so at least the United States is your market, and that's the way to think of it. So, yes, congratulations. That's exactly the way I think.
Yeah,
and, yes, it is harder. Yeah, it's harder to have. Yeah, it can be harder to have, the COIs, but you can work that out, All right, Chris, thanks.
Hey,
good job.
Feeling better, and thanks for the time.
Yeah, thank you. Congratulations, bud. I appreciate
it. Thanks, Rob.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.